Very frequently, I say, there is no reason for a carbon tax in this country because we are not the problem. And just say, well, we have to do something. No, we don't. I know that goes against some people's greeny agenda. And I wish that Justin Trudeau cared more about poor people than he appears to do, because a carbon tax just attacks the lower income people the most. And why attack them at all? And then I see Lori Goldstein has an article. We're paying money for nothing to fight, in quotation marks, fight climate change. Lori Goldstein is editor emeritus and columnist for the Toronto Sun. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, Terry.
All right. So let's have you back up. We're paying money for nothing?
Well, yeah. Look, the only thing that the carbon tax does, and now we have this new clean fuel regulations and the, you know, couple hundred billion dollars that we're spending on fighting climate change and, you know, subsidizing electric vehicle battery plants in Ontario. The point is that whatever you think about the issue of climate change, all this stuff, I suppose, gives us the ability to use moral suasion against major emitters like China to lower their emissions. But it doesn't do any practical good. And never mind carbon taxes and all that other stuff. We are such a small percentage of global greenhouse gas emissions that even if we eliminated them all tomorrow, which is impossible, nothing would change about the climate, which really means the weather in Canada. And so what I object to is the absurd thing when politicians stand up, particularly, you know, Trudeau liberals, and they say, if you don't support this carbon tax, then you're happy with Alberta burning. It is so ridiculous to make those kinds of arguments. The only solution, and even the Government of Canada admits this in its own documentation, the only solution to lowering emissions, regardless of what, if you think it's all a hoax, that's one thing. But if you think it is a problem, the only solution is global. The emissions go into the atmosphere. They circulate all over the world. If Canada removed its, well, what was it in 2019 before the pandemic hit? If we removed our 724 million tons of emissions that we generated in 2019 today, it would have no effect on the 48,117 million tons of emissions that went up in 2019 from all countries. And so the point is that what we're doing is, it's virtue signaling, and I guess virtue signaling has a value. But until you deal with countries like China, 26.4% of global emissions compared to our 1.5, right, where its emissions have risen 74.8% since 2005. So between 2005 and 2019, their emissions went up 26.4%. Our emissions in the same period dropped from 1.8% of the total to 1.5%, so about a 16% drop. And in that sense, you are valid when you say we are not the problem because we're too small a player. Tony Keller in the Globe and Mail did a very good analogy when he was discussing a similar issue. And what he said was that it's as if there's a pool, right? There's an Olympic-sized pool, and the pool's in danger of overflowing. So we're removing water from it with a soup spoon, one by one, right? Meanwhile, China is filling the thing with a fire hose. Like that's the reality. So what I want governments to say, if they believe this is important, and that's fine, and a lot of Canadians do, but be honest with them. This has nothing to do with making the weather better in Canada. You can't say every time there's a flood in BC or a fire in Alberta or an energy shortage, you know, in Ontario, that if only we did all this stuff that we're talking about, which will cost you more money, the environment will be, the weather will be better. No. None of that's going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. It's going to take decades, and it's going to take a global response. So, but they never say that, right? It's always, well, we have to stop the flooding. Well, if you wanted to do things like that, improve the dikes in BC, which failed, which caused the last major flooding. Improve our infrastructure that governments have neglected for a century, so that now we have, you know, we just have buildings that aren't resilient. We have building codes that aren't being improved. We keep putting people on floodplains and close to the ocean because the real estate there is more expensive. If you want to, you know, if you want to help Canadians, help them with that stuff, but don't put out this nonsense that if people in Atlantic Canada have to go into energy poverty to pay for oil next year because of the clean fuel regulations to heat their homes, that that's going to stop a wildfire in Atlantic Canada or in Alberta or in Saskatchewan. It's just a myth.
Well, Lori, I also want people to understand, and they can go and look at your column here too, because it's hard to remember numbers sometimes when you hear them on the radio. But when you say we're on one end with a spoon taking water out of the pool while China is using a fire hose, that's not hyperbole. I mean, the numbers are just fantastically different.
Tony Gelder is a serious journalist, and his article was how big are Canada's carbon emissions compared to China? We're a rounding error. That's a good way to put it. We're a rounding error.
All right, but the thing that just astounds me is not only that Trudeau will do the carbon taxes and that liberals go along with it, when against what they always say they are harming poor people.
Yeah, no, they specifically, the Parliamentary Budget Officer, who's a financial watchdog on spending, did a report a couple weeks ago that specifically talks about the clean fuel regulations, which is separate from the carbon tax, right? It's going to raise the cost of gasoline and oil when used for home heating, so it particularly hits places like Atlantic Canada. And in the government's own economic impact, it said that it will disproportionately hit poor people and will increase energy poverty. There are no rebates on the clean fuel regulation. You know, we can talk about carbon taxes and the rebate, that's a different issue. But let's stick to the clean fuel regulation, which is basically removing the fossil fuel, lowering the fossil fuel content of liquid fuels, right? And the Parliamentary Budget Officer says specifically was attacked for it, even though he used the Ministry of Environment's own impact analysis, which said, no, it's going to increase poverty. And look, obviously, people who are poor use a greater percentage of their energy, of their income, for necessities such as heat, right?
Food.
And if they drive a car to go to work, gas. For you and me, if the gas price goes up, the overall impact on our disposable income is very low compared to somebody who is basically, you know, like making $50,000 a year or something like that, and or $25,000. And then when you get down to single parents, you know, who even if they rent, pay their rent, which pays the cost of heating, all this stuff disproportionately impacts the poor.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
All right, Lori Goldstein, always good to have you. Thanks very much.
Take care.
Take a look at Lori's column in the Toronto Sun if you want to look at how outrageous these numbers really are. It's called "We're Paying Money for Nothing to Fight Climate Change."